You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 14th of July 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, the push to replace as many white people as possible continues without any justification for doing so, of course. Nobody has yet managed to actually come up with anything that shows that that improves a situation in any way, to have as many different races involved in something as possible. I mean, just on the face of it, you would think, well, that would just encourage confusion, wouldn't it? If you had people that couldn't all speak the same language, for instance. But we do have examples of places that have full diversity, of course. We can look at Africa, we can look at Pakistan. We've got 100% diversity, for instance, in the hospitals in Africa. Are they a vast improvement on the hospitals in Britain? I would suggest they aren't. And I'm talking about hospitals in particular here, because a top hospital trust chief executive says that she will no longer sit on any interview board panels that do not include black and minority ethnic members. And of course, this happens to be a white hospital trust chief executive. This is the amazing thing about this. It's suicidal, basically. It's our own people attacking our own people. The NHS must do more to tackle white privilege and increase black and minority ethnic representation among senior managers and directors, a leading hospital trust chief executive has told Sky News. So she believes in this fantasy that white people are just privileged. It's not because our ancestors worked hard. It's not because we worked hard. It's not because we have a high IQ and we invest a lot of time in parenting, or we used to invest a lot of our energy into parenting and providing stable family homes for our children so that they had the best foundations they possibly could to succeed in the world. It's not because we have developed over thousands of years a system of education. We developed a system of writing where we could pass on the knowledge of the past generations to the new generations. It's just privilege. It's just luck that we have all of this. Sarah Jane Marsh, chief executive of Birmingham Women and Children's NHS Trust, says she will no longer sit on any interview board panel that does not include a black and minority ethnic member after figures for her own trust revealed ethnic minority candidates were less likely to succeed at interview. Now, why could it be that black and minority ethnic candidates are less likely to succeed at interview? Now, if it was anybody else that didn't succeed at an interview, they would say, well, I didn't succeed at the interview either because I wasn't qualified, I didn't make a good enough impression. But because it's black and minority ethnics, instead of thinking that it might be something to do with them, the reason why they failed the interview, we are supposed to look at ourselves and say that we are the ones at fault because the person failed the interview. There are lots of reasons why they could be failing the interview. It could be because they have a low average IQ. But they do still have outliers. I mean, there are some exceptionally bright Indians, and there are quite a few of them, but that is because there are billions of Indians in the world. They do still have this this lower average IQ. Obviously, blacks have the lowest average IQ. That can be improved somewhat with education, but only about 10 points. On top of that, we also see that 85% of the people that are struck off in the NHS for gross incompetence are black and minority ethnic. So there is a lot of incompetence that goes on with these people. They have a low average IQ. And if you're running a business or you're running a board and you are looking for chief executives, you don't want people that are likely to be incompetent. You don't want people that are likely to make mistakes. And if you are interviewing somebody and they don't have the top qualifications and they are a little bit sketchy on some of the questions that you ask them, then you're not going to give them the job, are you? And we're talking about an industry here, the NHS, that has a very, very large portion of black and minority ethnics. They have a very good record as far as the anti-whites would say, because they have all these policies to give special privileges to non-whites. I mean, just look at this COVID outbreak where they've said that black and minority ethnics shouldn't be placed on the front line. They shouldn't be placed in any dangerous positions where they might make mistakes, basically. That's what's inferred by it, because they've all got the personal protective equipment. If they're not wearing it correctly, then they are likely to catch this COVID. And we've got this big inquiry at the moment looking as to why black people are more likely to get COVID or more likely to suffer from complications. So the NHS does all it can for black and minority ethnics. And because this woman's been through diversity training, diversity brainwashing, she believes in white privilege. So it's not as if the NHS is being racist, is it? It's not as if these people that are doing the interviews for the executives, as if they're looking at the black candidate and saying, oh, no, we can't possibly employ him because I don't like the color of his skin. I mean, that is just not happening, is it? It has to be that these people are failing at the interviews because they're just not good enough. And the other reason why they could be why there couldn't be so many of them is because a lot of the country only has about 1% black and minority ethnics in it. I had a look at the demographics for counties in England which are more than 98% white, and there's still a hell of a lot of them. We've got Allerdale, Amber Valley, Baburg, Barrow-in-Furness, Bolsover, Carlisle, Copeland, Cornwall, County Durham, Derbyshire, East Devon, East Dorset, East Riding, Forest of Dean, Hambleton, Herefordshire, the Isles of Scilly, Mid Devon, North East Derbyshire, and I could go on. I mean, we've only got up to the letter N there, but all those counties have 98% or more white people. So that means they only have 1% black and minority ethnics. So you wouldn't expect there to be lots of black people on the NHS boards. I mean, this is the same problem that we had with the police a while back. They said that they wanted to have 15% non-whites in the police force everywhere. Yet there aren't 15% non-whites in a lot of these counties, as we see here. And I would suggest that anyone who is looking to move, that they look at moving to one of those places here. I mean, Devon's beautiful, Derbyshire, beautiful, Carlisle, beautiful, beautiful places to live. And they're still 98% white. So these are the reasons why there aren't black and minority ethnics on these boards, is A, because there aren't many of them in a lot of these counties that have these boards, and B, because they're not qualified to be there, obviously. They failed the interview because the person that is interviewing them wants the best person for the job. What is she saying here? Is she saying that these black candidates, actually, they are the very best person for the job, but the person interviewing them, for some unknown reason, has decided he wants to sabotage the group by not employing the best person for the job and employing the worst person for the job? I mean, everything is supposed to be on merit. If you ask anybody in public what should be the reason why somebody should be given a position, they will tell you they should be given the position on merit. And yet now we have been told people should be given exalted positions simply because of what race they are. No longer can it be on merit. And what does this tell us? This tells us that they can't succeed on merit. The only way that they can succeed is by playing the race card. Across NHS England as a whole, 18% of the 1.2 million staff are from a BAME background. But just 5% of very senior managers are non-white, compared to 27% of the lowest paid support staff. So what does that tell us? That tells us that they are much more likely to be qualified to do the lower paid stuff. They're much better at doing the lower paid stuff. Only a very small proportion of them are capable of doing the job of being a senior manager. That's what that tells us. That doesn't tell us that white people are discriminating against them. Quite clearly, we're not discriminating against them because 18% of the staff across NHS England are non-white. And yet non-whites, we are told, according to the last census, only make up 15% of the country. So you can't say that the NHS is being racist because they're already employing more of them than their percentage of the population. Miss Marsh says the lack of representation at senior levels means the NHS is not as diverse as the communities it serves and may not be getting the best possible staff. Well, let's have a look at the trust that she works in. It's Women and Children's NHS Trust. She's supposed to be serving children. Should we not have children on the board then? Following her logic here, that whoever the doctors are, they should be made up of exactly the same people as their patients. Shouldn't we have child doctors if we need to be representing the patients among the doctors? Of course, that's ridiculous because you want the best doctors. Would you say out in Papua New Guinea, in the jungles in Papua New Guinea, that a Papua New Guinea doctor from the community there would be better? Or would you say that a highly qualified white Australian doctor would be best in the Papua New Guinea jungle? You want the people with the best qualifications. This idea that you have to have the people that are being served represented on the people that are helping them is ridiculous. As I was saying earlier, we've got no evidence that would be an improvement in any way. If you've got, say, a black community in Brixton, well, we've got black communities in Africa as well. Just look at the hospitals in Africa. How well are they doing? Would it be better to have the black community in Brixton served by all black doctors? It would be very difficult to have them all served by very, very highly qualified black doctors because, as I say, the incidences of very high IQs among the black community are extremely low. And that's just the way that they are. That's just the way that they're built. You can't change that. And to blame white people for it and say that we are discriminating against them, it harms us. And it harms them as well because it's based on a dishonest premise. She says, I know that in the NHS, we have got a problem with ensuring that we have the right people in leadership positions to represent the diversity of our workforce. Well, this is just it, isn't it? You want the right people in the leadership position because they have the right qualifications, not because they look like you. And why should it matter what they look like? What should matter is that they are the best qualified. Would you want a doctor that is the best qualified doctor, or would you want a doctor that looks like you? And we're being told that it's better to have a doctor that looks like you today. The Workforce Race Equality Scheme data tells us that white people are more likely to be appointed at interview than black people. And in my own organisation, they are twice as likely to be appointed. I do not believe that is because white people are twice as good as black people. There is something else going on, she says. Well, actually, what it does tell us is that white people are more qualified to do this job than black people are, which is exactly what you would expect looking at the educational achievements of black people. why are black people being encouraged to think that they should be being treated medically by other blacks? Do they really think that that is going to get them the best treatment? It's like this call at the moment. They're saying that they need to have more black people involved in executive boards of football. Well, blacks are good at football. They're good at physical things, but are they good in executive positions? Is that something that we see them excelling in? If we don't see them excelling in it, then why would we be trying to put as many of them in that position as possible? I mean, that is just a recipe for dystopia, isn't it? Putting the people least likely to be good at a job in that job. It's the same as when we direct all our resources for education. We look at the people that are least likely to excel at education, and then we divert all our resources to them instead of diverting our resources to the people most likely to benefit from it. The white working class are the people most likely to benefit from good education. You might get the odd genius pop up amongst them. You're not going to get the odd genius popping up among the black community, much as they will try and tell you that there are. If we look back, and I can't think of any black geniuses. She continues, I think there is white privilege. I think there are people having an unconscious bias. There are people coming to interview and not performing because they see a panel in front of them that does not believe in diversity. And I want to do something to change that. How can she say that? Everybody there on that panel has been through this diversity brainwashing. Any unconscious bias there is there will be in the drive to employ somebody black or minority ethnic. That's what the unconscious bias is. People are very, very eager to virtue signal. As we heard yesterday, even in Hollywood now, these actors are terrified that they might say the wrong thing, that they're bending over backwards to show a bias towards black and minority ethnics. And it's exactly the same in the NHS. It's exactly the same in every industry now. And yet she thinks it's the other way around. She says, I want anyone coming for interview to see that we are a diverse organization and want the best people, regardless of their background. Well, that doesn't add up, does it? That doesn't add up at all. If you come to the interview and you see that they are it's full of diversity, then quite clearly they haven't got the best people, regardless of their background, have they? They've just chosen people because of what their race is. And she can't even see the fact that what she's talking about here is completely illogical. She says it's clear white people have privilege because they make their way into positions of authority far more quickly. So it's nothing to do with the hard work then. It's nothing to do with the studying and the revising and the inheriting intelligence and inheriting aptitude from their family. And why do their family have that? Well, it's because they chose their partners wisely. They chose partners that their parents approved of, possibly. But mainly it's due to hard work. And this is so insulting to white doctors that have worked for years. I think they worked for about 8 years, they study for, in order to get to the position where they can be a doctor. And she is saying that this is just privilege. It's got nothing to do with the hard work that they've done. And they get into these positions of authority far more quickly. Well, what is she saying there? Do these black and minority ethnics, do they eventually make their way into these executive positions? Do they gradually improve in what they do? I think with as far as IQ is concerned, it stays where it is. It's not going to improve. I don't think it increases amongst blacks once they get to about the age of 14. I mean, I can't confirm that exactly, but I think that's what I've read, is that they don't continue to improve up after the age of 14. I think white people continue improving on their IQ up to about the age of 16. And of course, this is why when these people that are in these mixed race relationships, when they have their non-white child, they will think that the non-white child is a genius, that they'll think they're so bright, that they're so far ahead of their peers. And that's because they do have a higher IQ at a younger age, but then it stops improving once they get to about the age of 14. It may be the age of 12 even, may even be that low. So when they're very young, they will be ahead of their peers. And when they get to teenage years, their white peers will continue to improve. And also, there is, I think it's about 6 months, 6 months faster on average that blacks mature at. So this is why you get blacks that are about 15 years of age and they look like they're about 21 or 22. They look a lot older than the other white children that are in the classroom with them. There are big differences between the races, and so many of our problems are because we refuse to accept the reality of that. Mrs. Marsh's decision is personal, and while it will not apply to all interviews at her trust, she will apply it to any interviews she is asked to conduct in her national and regional roles. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you can imagine, because she's in Birmingham, she could say, well, Birmingham is 40% non-white, so I would expect to see 40% of the board being non-white. But she's not doing it at her own trust. She's going to do it in her national and regional roles. So that means in the regional roles, which means going to places like Carlisle, like Dorset, that are 98% white, and then saying she's not going to conduct the interview because there aren't enough blacks on the board there. She says, if you walk into an interview room and are met with a white wall, you are going to think this organisation is not for me, or they are going to think I'm not for them. Well, in actual fact, they're probably more likely to get employed by all these white people because they've been through all this diversity brainwashing. If it's somebody black there or non-white that is interviewing them, they're going to want to try and get the best people in, aren't they? They're not going to want to employ somebody that then is going to turn out to be a failure because it's going to look bad on them. She says, if that happens, initial performance can drop because of all these soft signals that the organisation does not value diversity. So she says that because these people that aren't seeing black faces there that are interviewing them, their performance isn't good enough, and that's why they are failing at these interviews. So it's got nothing to do with their qualifications then. See, she makes no mention of qualifications here. And people have to have high qualifications to get into these jobs. If they had high qualifications and they weren't actually given the role, then they could go and say, well, there may have been discrimination against me. They could take the organisation to a tribunal if that was happening. And it's not happening. There are only a handful of black and minority ethnic chief executives in the NHS. And then when you get to board and just below board level, the figures drop away, certainly in comparison to the workforce. If we did not have black and minority ethnic staff, we would not have an NHS. Again, that tells us that black and minority ethnics, they're good at working as staff, but they're not good as working as chief executives. Or there would be more of them as chief executives. Unless what she's saying here is these people that are doing the interviews, they're deliberately sabotaging the NHS. They're deliberately interviewing giving the job to the worst person for the role. That is not what is happening. The co-chair of the NHS Equality and Diversity Council, Joan Sadler, welcomed the Birmingham initiative and said change at senior levels is decades overdue. So this woman here is accusing the NHS of bias, having unconscious, all the people in it of unconscious bias and discriminating against blacks, and yet the organisation itself has an Equality and Diversity Council. I mean, why does the medical industry need an Equality and Diversity Council? You would think that they were all about medicine, they were all about looking after people's illnesses. But no, they are actually diverting resources away to an Equality and Diversity Council, and yet this woman still thinks that the people that put that in there as part of the NHS, they're somehow racist. The co-chair says, we do know of leaders who are taking a step on the position of a lack of black leaders at NHS board level. If you look at the black and minority ethnic leaders who are chief executives or chairs, they have been clear about the need as leaders to ensure diversity. Again, this tells us that they're not good leaders, isn't it? What they should be saying is, we need the best people. We need the very best people with the very best qualifications that are not going to make mistakes. And they're not saying that. They're saying, no, we just need more people who look like me. Imagine if somebody white was to say, we need more people that look like me on this board. But that's what the co-chair of the NHS Equality and Diversity Council is saying. Or rather, that's what these black leaders are saying once they get to chief executives or chairs, according to what the Diversity Council leader is telling us. She says, what we want to see is more non-black minority leaders doing what Sarah Jane Marsh is doing. And certainly there are some coming up. So what she's saying there is we need more white people saying that more white people need to be replaced. We have three or four minority ethnic chief executives in NHS trusts. So if we take that, we don't have the representation of minority ethnic staff at director or board level. And that has been a sustained picture for 30 years. While other stats have gone up, but this one has stayed the same. Whether we use the term institutionally racist is not something I would argue, but I would say we are not doing well. And why are we even looking at this? We should be looking at the results. We should be looking at whether the NHS is succeeding, whether it is whether the health of the nation is improving, not what race the people are that are involved in it, and talking about it being institutionally racist when it has an equality and diversity council. Ms. Sadler said further change would require a transformation in expectations and the way people view the potential of non-white communities. What is she saying here? People need to lower their expectations? The interviewers need to lower their expectations of minority ethnics so that they give them the job even though they're not qualified for it? Is that what she is saying here? Quite clearly, the people that have been through this diversity brainwashing, they're going to be viewing the potential of the non-white communities as being absolutely superb. I mean, you would think that you want to get blacks and non-whites onto this council as quick as you can because they're the absolute experts. They're the very best at all things medical. Well, they're not, are they? All we have to do is look at their countries to see that. Yet that's what is being drummed into these people's heads. I mean, why else would you be saying that you want to be employing more minority ethnics unless they were fantastic workers and unless they were the very best people for the job? It can't possibly be that they're just saying we should be employing minority ethnics just because they want to replace white people and get these other races in there. Couldn't possibly be that, could it? Morally, of course, she says, it is the right thing to do. Really? Morally, it's the right thing to do to put people in these positions not based on their qualifications, not based on their merit, but just based on their race? I mean, this is exactly what we've been told for the last 40 years is the wrong thing to be doing. From a legal point of view, she says, we have to do this. And from a financial point of view, it makes sense. How does it make sense from a financial point of view when 85% of all the people that are struck off are non-white? From a financial point of view, doing this means that the NHS is going to be sued more. It means that the NHS is likely to make more mistakes. That's what the statistics tell us. She's saying here, if it's from a legal point of view, they have to do this. From a legal point of view, they have to replace the white people. Well, that's a genocide, isn't it? Replacing one group of people with another group of people. So white genocide is now the legal position in these establishments. Representation in the workforce is not only about numbers and colours. It is about saying we can have a better quality of service if we have a more diverse service. Well, where is the proof of that? Where is the proof that you get a better quality of service if you have a multicultural service? Full diversity, we've got in Africa. Do they have a better quality of national health service in Africa than they do in Britain? Where is the proof of this? I mean, a diversity of opinion, diversity of assessment, that can be good. But in order for diversity to work, you have to have everybody that's in that diversity, they all have to be of a very, very, very high standard. They all have to be of an equally high standard in order for the fact that each will come from a different background for that to come out with something positive. And just saying that diversity of race is going to improve the quality of service, that's not going to improve the quality of service at all, because you are going to end up with people that are less qualified. I can recall seeing a study a while back that did a look at this diversity, and they found that, yes, diversity can improve things, but everybody in that diversity, they all need to be up to a certain standard. They all need to be up to certain qualifications. And then the differing backgrounds can cause people to come up with ideas that the others may not have come up with. But just basing it on the fact that they come from a different background, which is what they are doing here, is just a recipe for failure. She says, where do we expect to see these people working? I'm using it in a negative way to highlight the problem. We know we have nurses and people who can give good care, but at the highest level, we need to have the very best people, and we can't have special measures. But I don't see myself as special measures. So I'm not quite sure what she's saying there. She seems to be of the opinion that because at the lower levels of the NHS, minority ethnics do well, that at the very highest levels of the NHS, they're going to do very well. And it's not logical, is it? Well, women aren't really known for being logical, are they? They're known for being emotional, and these arguments that she's putting across here, they're based on emotional arguments. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.